everyone, and welcome to Just Cincinnati, a podcast where each episode we address issues of justice in the greater Cincinnati area. I'm Kyle Vath, and this week, Stephen Byers and I interview volunteers from the organization Third Act Ohio, a group of elder Ohioans who are working to take better care of the environment around us and ensure our democracy is protected for future generations. I know Stephen and I left this conversation encouraged and inspired, and we think you will as well. So let's jump into the conversation. Well, hello, Ted, Jess, and Dee Dee. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. We're really happy to be here.
Well, thank you, and we're excited about the good work, to hear a little bit about the good work that you all are doing with Third Act Ohio. And for those who have never heard of the organization Third Act, Jess, maybe if you could tell us a little bit about Third Act as a group, and then talk a little bit about what's going on here in Ohio.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Third Act is an organization that started just about a year ago. It just had its one-year anniversary. It was started by somebody named Bill McGibbon, which some of your listeners may be familiar with him. He's done a lot of writing on the environment in particular. With a couple of other folks, he started Third Act as an organization to work to support our democracy and to protect our environment, in short. And it focuses on folks who are 60 and over. And there are a lot of good reasons for that. And it's a super exciting and sort of cohesive idea for those of us in Third Act. And we're really excited about having more and more folks in Ohio join us. We started what's called the Ohio chapter, Third Act Ohio. Last spring, we first started talking, a group of us who are now the coordinating committee started talking about it, and we had our official launch for Third Act Ohio just in the beginning of this month on December 1st. So we are looking forward to some actions and looking forward to some meetings and all kinds of things that people can get involved in the state of Ohio. We have members all across the state, and we're looking for more and more numbers. So that's Third Act and Third Act Ohio in the briefest of terms. I'm sure others can join in. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking a little before we started recording that, you know, sometimes the older generation is not always the first to get into this world of environmental advocacy. But I think there are some reasons why that's so important and why there is power in that group. Ted, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Part of it has to do with the realization that people 60 years of age or older actually control about 60% of the country's wealth. But another reason for focusing on elders is that a lot of us have the time in retirement, for example, and we have a lot of organizational experience behind us that we can bring to bear on advocating for addressing the climate crisis at the required speed and scale. And we think we can link up with other like-minded groups and considerably grow the number of climate activists to the point where we've got a critical mass that actually changes the conversation and results in whatever regulations and legislation are required to address climate chaos at the required speed and scale.
Dee Dee, you wanted to jump in there?
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, you have to remember that for a lot of people over 60 and especially over 70, that the environmental crisis really is not new. I mean, back in the 70s with the Earth Day and the EPA starting and the Clean Water Act and all that, that was people over 70 now who were active then in their 20s and 30s.
I would just add to that for myself, I have spent much of my life going to rallies and marches and sort of being politically active, but also in a somewhat passive way. And, you know, this notion that as you get older, you get more conservative actually runs completely counter to my own experience as a human on this earth. And one of the reasons I was really excited about Third Act is because in addition to more passive kinds of work, really important work like letter writing and campaigning and writing to your newspaper editors and that kind of thing and getting the vote out, I was really interested in nonviolent direct action and absolutely interested in working with a group of people who might be interested in doing the same thing. And especially exciting to me was the idea of a group of people 60 and over who would be interested in doing some of the same kinds of things.
Yeah, a lot of us have experience, considerable or not, in protesting one or another form of environmental degradation or climate injustice. So those kinds of demonstrations are all over the map. But the particular focus of Third Act on stopping the big banks, other financial institutions like private equity firms and insurance companies from their continued funding of big environmentally climate destructive fossil fuel projects, that focus is very appealing to me. I mean, you can lobby legislators for the right laws and administrators in the federal and state governments for the right regulations. But the other end of that is turning off the spigot of money, of billions and billions of dollars that go to fund fossil fuel projects that take us much deeper into the climate crisis. To put that in terms of metrics, last year, the International Energy Agency said in order to reduce emissions 50% by 2030, in order to have any chance of achieving carbon neutrality by 2050, those are IPCC metrics, we have to stop funding fossil fuel projects now. The IEA released that report almost a year ago, and by now they meant no more new fossil fuel projects after 2021. And here we are almost at the end of 2022 with institutions like Chase and Wells Fargo throwing yet more billions of dollars into fossil fuel exploration, extraction, liquefied natural gas export terminals, import terminals, the list goes on.
And Didi, you were talking a little bit earlier as well about the four banks that are doing the most harm, the JP Morgan Chase, Citibank, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and a lot of the work that you all are working on right now has to do with financing and financing this fossil fuel industry. Tell us a little bit more about what the concern is about banks. What's the concern about investments, and what is our part in that?
So banks use their money, the money that we put into the banks, they use that money to lend it back out, and they lend it out to you know individuals, they lend it out to companies, they lend it out to you know corporations and everything. And so JP Morgan Chase is, $382 billion that they have into fossil fuel projects, which is 25% higher than even the next, you know, Citibank at 285. And every time you use your credit card, the bank gets 3% of that transaction. So you think about the billions and billions of dollars that everybody spends. And here we are at the holiday time, especially. The bank is making lots of money. And then all those people who have interest on those credit cards, the bank is making money from that. So the first action that we talk about that's fairly simple for individuals is to, you know, cut up your big bank credit cards and find banks, you know, maybe your local bank. You know, there are some banks that are, you know, local to Ohio or credit unions that give out bank cards and stuff like that. And those banks invest in local communities much more. So that's a really big way to start as an individual, cutting out your money to the big banks.
So cutting up our credit cards is the first. What about for our own investments that we have, maybe our IRAs, our mutual funds? What are the resources out there, and what impact does my own investment make on this big problem?
Right. Again, if people who recall, you know, in the 70s, the divestment started with, they had, getting your money out of weapons and tobacco. There was a big divestment from South Africa that pressured the country to end apartheid. So we feel that we can do the same here, is that we can pressure those companies to stop investing in fossil fuels. And as an individual, you can take your IRA. If you move that money, doesn't cost you anything because it's pre-tax, it's in there. Now, if you want to move mutual funds, you have to be a little more careful because it can cost you in capital gains, et cetera. But that's why the older people, it makes more sense because we have investments in retirement. So individually, I can do that. I can move my money. But then also a lot of people are part of a corporate or state retirement system, for instance, the public employees retirement system in Ohio or the state teachers retirements. All these states have those kinds of things, and you can pressure your boards to try and divest from those. Now, that said, it's not easy to find out. You can find out all the holdings of your investments, and you can find out holdings of investments you want to move to, but everything's not, it's not a one-shot deal unless you buy stock, which is, harder. But so an investment company might be, get an F grade, for instance, on fossil fuels, but they may do really well with other things that are also important to you, gender equality, prisons, weapons, deforestation. There are a whole bunch of environmental and social justice categories that are now included when we invest green, okay? The socially the responsible investing, which is now called ESG, there's no certification for or standard for that. So somebody can say, hey, I'm going to divest in one thing, and therefore I'm a green investment company. So like I said, there are some websites like As You Sow, which rates the mutual funds and stuff, fossil free funds. These are websites you can go to and learn more about it, and then decide which of those social and environmental parameters is most important to you, and go with those companies. And
just to build a little bit on what Ditta has been saying. This is not a quixotic campaign, divesting from these big banks or shredding your credit card and going to a credit union in your hometown. Third Act is actually piggybacking on a worldwide divestment campaign that was started back in 2011, again by Bill McKibben, but coordinating with 350.org. an organization he helped found. Since McKibben and 350.org started that divestment campaign, some $40 trillion have been divested from fossil fuel operations by various pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, Norway, for example, teachers' retirement funds. Ditta was referring to those. Various institutions, religious, educational, civic, several municipalities, prime amongst them New York City, have also moved their pension funds or their investment funds out of fossil fuels. So $40 trillion, north of $40 trillion, is not chump change.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that as Didi was suggesting, it's complicated moving your money, and it's not a push one button and it all happens magically and you've done the right thing. And we recognize that. Third Act recognizes that. Third Act National, I believe, is working on some documentation and some support for that, like a toolkit, if you will, to walk people through that and to make suggestions and list some of the organizations that Dee Dee has referred to. And what we want to do with Third Act Ohio is do something that is Ohio specific to the extent that we possibly can. You know, we're not going to be able to list every single credit union in every town in Ohio, but we can make some suggestions about best practices for getting there in every town in Ohio, if you will. So we're working on that and hope to have that in the coming months.
Well, and something you all touched on several times is what's called ESG investing. And just for those who may be newer to this area, this is environment, social concerns, and governance. So looking at how are our investment practices impacting the environment? How are they impacting social justice concerns, work, labor, labor conditions, those types of things, human rights, and governance, looking at our boards, looking at how people get on boards, the diversity of boards, all types of different things. So when we talk about ESG, that is what we're talking about. And there's a lot of, it's a big umbrella that includes a lot of things. And as all of our speakers talked about, this is not real cut and dry. But what I found is I have done some work on this in my own life, in my own circles that I have a little bit of influence in. And they are very helpful and fascinating websites that I really encourage you to just go on and look at these websites. And just to restate those, it's asyousow.org and then fossilfreefunds.org. Those are some great websites. I started out with fossilfreefunds.org and I took my 401k ticker symbols and plugged them in there. And I was told that this was the sustainable fund that I had chosen. And when I looked it up, they got F grades in most everything, even those sustainable funds. And so I did switch everything over. It wasn't easy. I own my own company, and so I had to look at those in great detail and see what opportunities were available, what choices I had, and which ones I didn't. And it's not cut and dry, as everyone has said. Dee Dee?
I was just going to add greenamerica.org to that. They have a social investing link as well, and that gives a lot of information about banks and other things. But I also wanted to say, I was talking just recently about that fact that the same thing as I looked at some of my funds and I said, wait a minute, this is a green mutual fund company. How come it's getting a poor grade in this? And one of the things that possibilities that came up is, you know, first of all, you know, somebody creates a company on this and then the managers change, the fund managers. And again, there are so many different parameters and no standard that somebody says, oh, I'm going to go into this company, and they're not looking carefully enough to see, what's invested in those companies. But also, again, there's not necessarily a well-defined parameters even for that. It's like you look at a company and you say, well, what makes them bad in fossil fuels? Is it rated on the percentage of money they're putting into it? You know, you want absolutely no companies that have fossil fuels, you know, so there's no standard for that. And so we don't even know how the standard of the grades is set up.
Jess referred to the important statewide local focus of each of these third working groups. And to give that focus a little more context, Jess and other members of the coordinating committee staged back on November 14th, I think it was, a demonstration outside and inside the Principal Chase downtown branch office in Cleveland. And the folks on the street handed out, you know, one-pagers or on what Third Act was all about and the importance of divesting from fossil fuel projects funded by the big banks. And two members of the coordinating committee actually had an appointment with the branch bank manager. And they explained to the branch manager what Third Act Ohio was all about and gave her a letter to forward to Chase CEO Jamie Dimon asking him and Chase Bank to cease and desist from funding any fossil fuel projects in the future, especially given the fact that Chase has poured over $360 billion into fossil fuel projects since 2016. But it's those kinds of locally focused actions that we hope will draw a lot of local and statewide attention to the need to, you know, turn off the spigot of money funding fossil fuels.
And I would just add to that that DD was at that action also, and it was there weren't a huge number of us, but we were passionate and we had a bullhorn and we made a lot of noise on the street corner. And we have, this was the first of our bank actions, and we hope to do quite a few more. I don't know exactly how many leading up to this day of action. That's the culmination of this banking campaign for Third Act. We have one that we're just starting to plan for January 20th in Columbus. We like the idea of Columbus because it's more or less get to a bowl for most people in the state, not more than a 2-ish hour drive. So we're hoping that it'll attract folks from different corners of the state, and we'll be, you know, communicating a lot more about that and conveying details.
And you have a big event that you're planning for March 21st of 2023 in this context of banking on our future. So this is a big movement of the 350.org as well as the Third Act organization to bank on our future. Maybe tell us a little bit about what you're looking at in March and how people can get involved.
So the National Day of Action is with the Third Act all over the country. And it's, you know, it'll be up to different of the working groups to set those up and what they're going to look like. The big thing is the cutting up of the credit cards. And that will be a symbolic and literal action. Have everybody together and cut up those credit cards. And I think that, you know, we've been talking about it now for, I mean, Third Act is only a year old, but you know, I mean, I think I changed my credit card at least about, I don't know, maybe close to a decade ago already. It's something that other organizations have been talking about. This is not new. It's just another organization hoping to, you know, to draw people and increase our numbers and get more and more people aware of it. And that, as you said, is, you know, you asked earlier, you know, the difference between, you know, I mean, I can do things individually. Why an organization? And that is because organizations start to get the word out. I mean, you know, if I called you and said, hey, I'm doing this, would you necessarily do a podcast? Well, now, but now there's an organization. And every time somebody hears about it from our organization and, you know, the Stop the Money Pipeline organization and the Green America and, you know, every different organization is coming at them, they kind of go, wow, maybe this is really an important thing to do.
And when you look on the website of fossilfreefunds.org, there are, as Ted said earlier, hundreds of organizations, big and small, who have said, we're going to do this different. We're going to invest our money differently. We're going to pull our money out of these certain areas. And so, as you said, Dee Dee, we're not alone. And this isn't something that just started today. This is something that's been going on for a while, but maybe picking up steam due to organizations like you. Ted?
Yeah, to go back to the fact that we're an organization of people 60 years of age or older, Bill McKibben said in a Zoom get-together nationwide in early December, celebrating the first year anniversary of Third Act, that it was, quote, more than a little undignified, unquote, for us elders who unknowingly or knowingly contributed so much to the acceleration of climate change to leave a much damaged world in the hands of young people to address and try to repair. I think more than a little undignified is a real understatement. I mean, you know, there's some kind of moral responsibility that all of us And I think particularly those of us over 60 have to addressing climate change precisely because we're so aware of it, if only given the fact that we have children and grandchildren and we're so connected with friends of the same age who also have two and in some cases three generations coming in behind them. So one hope of Third Act nationally and in these statewide working groups is that we can link up with the growing numbers of youth, teens, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, who are out there working in a whole variety of ways to address the climate crisis.
And, you know, there's something that that happens, a phenomenon, if you will, and I've heard it called two different things, and one is hitting critical mass or hitting the tipping point. You know, what makes, you know, a movie or book become an absolute, you know, phenomenon, or what makes a boycott work? And it's getting to that point where enough people are aware and doing it that it takes us to our expected goal.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I've been looking at as we talk is the principles of the Third Act organization. And I'll just read them off for those who haven't seen your website. It's be kind, be inclusive, boost others, be humble, take care of yourself, back up the youth, be generous, but not to a fault, be accountable, be creative, and we're all in this together. And those are inspiring principles to live by for any of us. And I think a lot of times the quote unquote boomer generation, used in a pejorative way many times, that generation doesn't always get that type of principles labeled with them. And I'm just so inspired by talking with you all, because you all are painting a different picture of your generation. And how do you do that? How do you, when there's so much negativity, so much cynicism out there, so much instability, so much apathy, how do you all as this 60 and older group, you as individuals, keep going and keep that positivity that is in those principles?
One of the things that I hear coming up from a lot of people in Third Act is that action is the antidote to anxiety. And there are a lot of variations on that statement. But doing nothing is the most depressing darn thing you could imagine, right? So not doing nothing is key, I think, for me anyway, in feeling like I'm doing something on this planet rather than just riding out, as Ted suggested, this horrible curve that we helped create. And I think, you know, the energy of a group working together is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And that the group has such cohesion around what's really important is really evident when you talk to folks in Third Act. And as mentioned also, working with other groups, I mean, we have an opportunity that I hope will pan out to work with a Sunrise organization in Columbus, for example. So for folks who don't know, those are activists around climate and other social justice issues at the college level, right? So 18 to 22-year-olds for the most part. And we're so excited to be working with groups across generations. I find that incredibly hopeful as an individual.
It is the case, of course, that not only is the climate crisis getting worse, you can almost see it month by month, at least in certain years, especially 2018 and 2020. It's also the case that we're getting very close to the point where keeping average global warming to 1.5 degrees centigrade will become impossible. I mean, 1.5 C is in real danger. at this point. Again, the bottom line metrics are the world has to reduce carbon emissions 50% by 2030 in order to have any chance of achieving carbon neutrality by 2050 in order to prevent the more catastrophic impacts of climate change. And we already know that wildfires, droughts, floods, hurricanes, they're coming at us faster, harder, more frequently, with deadlier consequences almost year by year. So, it just becomes more and more imperative to act.
So I just want to say we haven't really touched on the democracy part of this yet. And I think that one of the things that we can see, and I'm going to kind of make a broad generalization here, is that, many of the democracies around the world are the ones who are supporting climate action. And countries that are, authoritarian, and unfortunately corporations, which are authoritarian in some way, they're the ones that are, continuing to do this and to deny the climate change and all. And I think that that's why we all need to be voicing with our votes and such our democratic, towards democracy.
We had our launch had several speakers, and one of them was Jen Miller, who is the executive director, I believe her title is, of the League of Women Voters of Ohio. And we wanted her to speak on our launch because she has such experience with a lot of democracy issues in Ohio, including the history of gerrymandering in this state and what that has meant. And that all ends up in the same pot, right? I mean, Ohio's climate policies, if you want to go there, are woefully lacking, if one could use that term, and that has direct relationship to what has happened with the reduction and the further intent to reduce access to the polls of some legislation that's sitting on the state house floor right now. So this is another area that Third Act Ohio. There's so much work to be done there, and I do have great hope that Third Act Ohio will become much more active in some of those campaigns in Ohio as well.
It sounds like you all have been just generally, historically in your own lives, have been very involved in social and environmental issues. And now here you are as, what the Third Act webpage
elders.
Calls experienced Americans, right? You've got years and years, decades of experience, and you've seen how things kind of go. And I'd like to hear more from each of you just about what this has been like for you personally. I mean, how has it affected you personally? You've spoken a little bit about your grandchildren, moving forward. What you're passing down to future generations, but like, how has it changed you in the way you've been doing things?
For at least a couple of decades before I retired in 2013, I had really wanted to be involved in community actions of one sort or another, whether they took place in the city where I lived, whether they were statewide, whether they were federal in nature. And I couldn't do it because of professional obligations and commuting I had to do to help raise my daughter. But once I retired and I had the time, then step by step, and sometimes a lot faster than that, I joined up with various groups, particularly 350.org, terrific individuals associated with Beyond Extreme Energy on the East Coast, which fights liquefied natural gas exports and gas and oil pipelines, among other things. All of these people really taught me just what it means to be an activist, a fully committed one. They taught me the rewards of this kind of communal association. Greta Thunberg, I think, said last year or the year before last, you have no right to hope. You really cannot hope without action. And it is the case, just psychologically, emotionally, that taking action is what actually breeds hope. Hope in the abstract is empty and pointless.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it was a similar trajectory to Ted's, I suppose. I've been politically active and concerned about environment for many, many, many years, but also working full time, raising a kid, being in a family, so many obligations and things to do with my time that weren't optional, right? And so when I retired, I knew that I wanted to get involved in environmental activism. And I knew that I wanted it to be something more than going to rallies and writing letters. Not that those aren't wonderful things to do. But I just felt like I've spent a lot of years doing those more passive kinds of activism. And I was looking for the right fit, you know? And when I heard about Third Act, and then in particular talked to a couple of people involved in another working group when I was at an action late last year or in early spring, It all clicked, and it seemed that Third Act needs to be the place where I can psych myself and put my body and do some good and make some change and avoid the despair of doing nothing, right? So it just seemed like a really clear fit for me. And I have a kid who doesn't want to, who declares that he'll never have children because the world is ending, essentially, you know, and that's his choice, right? But it has a big impact, right? I mean, young people in their whatever, teens, 20s, young people are so impacted by what we've done and what greed has done to our world that.
Yeah, our young people know too much, don't they, about what's going on, or not enough? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Well, and I, you know, I grew up in a family that was very socially active from the beginning. There was a lot of advocating for racial justice in my community. We also were very environmentally conscious at the time, though, saving energy and water and recycling and all that. And then in my working days, I had several jobs throughout the years. I was a recycling coordinator at a university for 4 years, starting their program. And I also worked in energy conservation in my later years. So I've been involved and aware in a lot of different ways. But now, being retired, I can actually travel more to events and things like that, and feel that since I'm not working in it, I still want to be involved in it. And so getting involved with organizations in this way has been, my third act, right?
I just want to follow up with just this tiny note about a sense of responsibility, right? And that kind of weaves its way through a lot of what we've said here. But I think all of us feel a fairly strong sense of responsibility. And also, frankly, you know, when I was working, I couldn't have gotten arrested and, you know, not shown up for work on Monday. That wouldn't have been acceptable, really, you know? And so there's a way in which I just have freedoms as a retired person, which includes some kind of risky freedoms that I'm really excited about engaging or continuing to engage.
Yeah, this part of the conversation brings to my mind how moved I am by my daughter's wholehearted support for what I'm doing. And were I not doing that, to go back to Jess's use of the term responsibility, I would just feel irresponsible and enormously guilty, and possibly experience some of the despair that Jess has also referred to.
That's good stuff.
I appreciate y'all sharing that. It's great. Yeah, I hope we can follow in your footsteps and help y'all grow in this work and reach more people. Yeah.
Thanks for that last question, Steve. And Kyle, thanks for all the questions. I mean, the questions you asked, the comments you've made, you're already a third act veteran.
We will be there soon before we know it, for sure. And, you know, it is truly inspiring to talk with you all. Many of the conversations I've had with people close to me, who are in this generation aren't there yet. And so it's incredibly encouraging to hear your motivations, your enthusiasm, and I love the freedom that you have now to go out and be arrested for what you think is right and for the future of your children and grandchildren. That is inspiring. And so thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for using these years, this third act, to build a legacy that you know, people and the generations behind you can be really proud of, and that you can be proud of too. And so as we close, we always like to give some very practical things that our listeners can do. And you all have given many of those. One of the first things I heard was, you know, if you have a big bank credit card from JPMorgan Chase, Citibank, Bank of America, or Wells Fargo, you can cut that thing up today. And if you live in the Cincinnati area, you can actually recycle what you just cut up at our Cincinnati Recycling and Reuse Hub. They take broken up plastic credit cards and gift cards, and they can recycle those. So that can keep it out of our landfills and out of our water. And that's something that you can do right away. The other thing is you can look at the funds that you already have invested. You can go to fossilfreefunds.org, asyousow.org, and Dee Dee, what was the third one?
GreenAmerica.org.
You can go on there today, pull out any of your investment forms that you've had from your past, banking interactions or your investment interactions, look up those ticker numbers and see how you fare. Really looking at those and learning about it is the first step, and it will really open your eyes. The other thing you can do, especially if you're 60 and older, is go to the Third Act website, thirdact.org, sign up, and specifically sign up for the Ohio Working Group. For those of us in Ohio, if you're in Kentucky or Indiana, you can look for the appropriate states there as well. But you can really start to learn. And again, share some thoughts and share the inspiration that you just heard from our guests today. Jess?
Yeah, I just wanted to add on the cutting up your credit card. If you are a third act aged person and are interested in the organization, the suggestion would be to sign the pledge, which you'll find at the Third Act site, and hold off on the actual cutting up of the credit card for this big March 21st, 2023 day of action.
Gotcha.
And we'll be, if you join Third Act, you will get a lot more information about that. And as Kyle was saying, please join Third Act Ohio. You can get to our working group website from the national site. You have to dig down a little bit, but look under working groups, and you can sign on to be a part of Third Act Ohio. And I would also let your listeners know that there are two dates. On January 11, we will have a big working group meeting. And then on January 20th, again, there will be a bank action in Columbus. And if you join Third Act Ohio, then you'll get a lot more details about all of those happening. So be in touch. You can also, our email address, if I could say this, kind of a tedious thing on the radio, but it's just thirdactoh@gmail.com. And if you email us, we'll reply directly and talk to you about whatever you want to talk about relating to Third Act.
Beautiful. Well, Jess Grimm, Ted Wollner, and Dee Dee Wollen, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for the good work that you're doing. And we're excited to have this exciting work in Ohio and the greater Cincinnati area. Thank you so much. Our theme music for Just Cincinnati was generously provided by the internationally renowned but locally based singer and songwriter Kim Taylor. More of her intimate and folksy music can be found on her website at kim-taylor.net or wherever quality music is streamed.